My word processing program has a weird glitch. Every once in a while, I'll be happily typing along, and then I make an error, as one does when typing, and I go to correct it. And I attempt to highlight the error, highlight the problem, and my word processor highlights the word on the other side, or some random letter, or a whole line. But it absolutely refuses to let me correct the actual problem. It's enormously frustrating. I usually end up swearing a couple of times. And then, you know, here I am stuck in the failure mode and can't get out, and the only thing to do is to shut down the program and restart it. And sometimes that doesn't fix it. Nope, not working yet. Sometimes the only thing that works is to reboot the whole computer. And then, miraculously, the program starts working as it should have from the beginning, and I can correct the mistake I made and proceed. It's really weird. So, believe it or not, I was thinking about this story about Peter today, and it connected in my mind with my software issue. Now, Jesus has been raised from the dead, and Peter, the others, have seen him and talked with him, but Peter is stuck in failure mode. He's convinced that what he has done is unforgivable, that he is unforgivable. So he goes back to what he knows, fishing. And that's all that he's good for, he thinks. But right now, he's failing even to do that. He can't catch any fish. He's been at it all night and no luck. So none of his program is working. And he's made a terrible error. He has denied 3 times that he even knows Jesus. And he is stuck on this error, but he can't do what he needs to fix it. He is highlighting the wrong thing. He is highlighting his own sense of worthlessness. He is highlighting the impossibility for him of moving forward. Instead of highlighting Jesus' love and forgiveness. And so he's very well aware of that error, but he can't do what he needs to do to fix it and move forward. And then Jesus appears to him and to the other disciples again. At first, no one recognizes him. But then Jesus does a miracle, and suddenly their empty net is full. And the disciple whom Jesus loves says, "It's the Lord!" Do you notice that Peter does not jump for joy when this happens? No. Just like Adam and Eve in the garden, he realizes that he's naked. Jesus can see way more of him than Peter wants him to see. So he gets dressed in a hurry, and then he jumps into the water. Kind of seems backward, doesn't it? It's a double cover-up. I'm clothed and I'm also hidden in the water, right? You can't see me. The program has been restarted and the risen Jesus is seeking him out, but it's not enough. He's still highlighting his failure instead of Jesus' forgiveness. So Jesus does a hardware reset. He takes Peter aside and has a personal conversation with him. Jesus asks Peter 3 times if he loves him more than all these things that he's come back to, more than all his familiar, safe, known world, and perhaps even more than his own life. Simon, do you love me more than all these? And 3 times Peter tells him, "Yes, Lord, you know that I love you." It's a direct confrontation with Peter's failure. Three times for three denials. And Peter feels hurt because he's just been confronted with his error. It's highlighted. But Jesus does more than just highlight the three failures. Jesus gives Peter work to do, and not just any work. He gives him a shepherd's work, an overseer's role. Feed my lambs. Tend my flock. Feed my sheep. I am trusting you with responsibility for others. Yes, I know that you failed. I saw that. But I trust you to do this very important work. And then Jesus goes back to the very beginning, reboots to Peter's original call. Follow me. Follow me. Let's start this over from the beginning, correct the error, and move forward. I love you. I call you. You're mine. Now get to work. It's a computer reboot, and it gives Peter a fresh start. He's able to move forward from this point and live faithfully as Jesus' disciple. Now, I'm sure there will be more errors in the future, as there are for all of us. But now he's able to highlight the right thing: Jesus' love, Jesus' forgiveness, and allow Jesus to let him move forward. Well, as I'm sure all of you sometimes have happen, it's not just my weird little software glitch that I deal with. Sometimes I get a notice that I need to update my system. Sometimes it's a problem with a virus that is threatening lots of computers worldwide, and it's a preemptive thing. You need new information in your computer in order to prevent the whole thing from being corrupted, right? Large-scale problem. Software update required. And usually I find this happens at the most inconvenient moment possible. And so I have to download the new software, usually reboot the computer, and then wait for the new system to load. And depending on how big a problem it is and how extensive this update is, sometimes it's quite a long wait. Don't you love that progress bar on your computer? Is this telling you how much longer? And you're saying, come on, come on, come on, come on. Well, Saul gets a software update. And as usual, it's not on a convenient time. He's on the road to Damascus, and he has work to do. He is convinced that Christians are heretics and that Jesus was a false Messiah. He has been infected with hate and rage. He's breathing threats and murder. He's guilty of persecuting, imprisoning, and even killing Christians. And then Jesus appears to him in the middle of his urgent work and knocks him flat. And like the disciples, Saul doesn't know at first who Jesus is. Are you, Lord? And the reply comes, I am Jesus, whom you are persecuting. I'm pretty sure that at this point in the story, there was a line left out. Okay? Because I'm pretty sure that Saul, at this point, said something, the Aramaic or Greek equivalent of, oh, shoot, only not shoot. I am Jesus, whom you are persecuting. That had to be a terrifying moment. I thought you were fake. I thought you were dead. You're alive and real, and you're talking to me, and I'm pretty sure that you're God. It's a software update with vital new information. Saul, why are you stuck here? Why are you persecuting me? Why do you keep kicking at the goads that I'm using to move you forward? Let's try something new. Now that you know who I am, I'm calling you. I'll show you how much you're going to suffer for my name. But you know, then there's a long period of waiting. Saul's got the new information downloaded, but now the whole thing has to install. And he's blind, and he's helpless. He has to be led by the hand. And he waits, and he fasts, and he prays, and he's still blind and stuck. And then Jesus sends Ananias to him. You know, this is an interesting part of the story. Because Jesus obviously could have said, all right, time's up, you're healed, you can see again, let's move forward. But that's not what Jesus does. Jesus sends Ananias, a community leader who, you know, doesn't want to go. Like, I know who Saul is. Nope, not interested in meeting him. He's dangerous. I'd like not to be arrested and thrown in prison and possibly killed. Nope, I'm just going to hang out here with my friends. That's fine. And Jesus says, no, Ananias, you are going. So what's going on here? Why does Jesus send Ananias? Because Saul doesn't just need the new information about who Jesus is. Saul needs to be connected with community. He needs that new information woven into all that the old existing community can teach him. He needs connection. And Ananias is his point of entry to the whole church. Ananias can take this new convert and say, no, it's all right. He's not going to bind you in chains. He knows now who Jesus is. He's one of us. And so, through Ananias, Saul becomes part of the church. He learns not only Jesus' love and forgiveness, but the way that the whole community can offer him love and connection and forgiveness. And so Saul gets a whole fresh start, healing from his blindness and a new mission. You know, it strikes me that in some way, all of us can connect with the stories of Peter and of Saul. We make errors. We sin. We get stuck in our failure modes and we highlight the wrong things. We highlight our failures and we get so stuck that we can't correct them. And we forget what's really important. That Jesus sees us already. Doesn't matter how much we put on our clothes and jump in the lake. Jesus still sees us in all our nakedness. Jesus knows us. And Jesus loves us and forgives us. And no matter what we have done, Jesus offers us new beginnings, fresh starts, the information that we need to be able to move forward. And when Jesus has told us once again, I love you, I forgive you, you're mine. Then Jesus says, get to work. Because other people need to know, too, about my love and forgiveness. Other people need to know, too, that they belong in this community, in this my community of love and forgiveness and healing and grace. So go out, all of you, share that good news. Help people to be connected with Jesus' love. Amen.